בוא נתחיל. Who's over here? Cell phone.
Especially at night, you
can't go to a
parking spot.
Yeah, you
spot a lot. Then you can.
Okay, השאלה היא, כזה. לדעתם.
לדעתכם.
מה המטרה שלנו פה?
All right, I already heard the Hebrew.
Yeah, it's hard
oh,
for me.
Oh, like in this world right? Or Poe in this
now, what do you think? What do you think is... I wanted to wonder first, what do you think our goal is here?
Here as in what you...
Poe, at this table, it's made of wood. What do you think we're trying to do?
Well, I think you're going to teach us about the premiums of Mizikin.
First of all, there's no teaching. There's Limud Biachad.
Oh, well,
from each other.
Sorry.
Number one. Okay. But yeah, what do you say?
That was it. Learn from each other about
Nizikin.
What does it mean?
To understand the religious impact that Nizikin has on us, not just in the sense of, like, oh, you have to pay this guy this, but the inner moral values.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. No?
Warm, because it's not great. Frank, hear that?
What would you want from such a chabura? With the title of Hadracha Bavodas Hashem Mitoras Nizikin.
Miri.
My daughter? She is Pnimius. It's true.
She's the closest to knowing Kol HaTorah, so I think she should teach us.
I had an aura when she was born. Babies cry a lot. And it's probably... no, and it's because Tzaka... I tefila, as her cook says, is the language of the soul. So a baby was just a soul, spoke this language, and was thrown into a body. And it's like, okay, like now you have to figure out how to do it. So it's just like screaming this whole time. It's not like held down yet by the body. It barely has a body, but I can't do anything, a baby. Very soul, a baby. That's how things cry so much. I had that, oh, she was screaming for a while.
So how do you,
she doesn't cry so much.
Her with you.
You don't have to stop babies from crying.
Okay.
Okay, fine. So. Okay. So, like, what?
You just let her cry.
No. You stop them. Let them do what they want. Okay, so. So I'll tell you something interesting. You guys know when you learn something. Actually, Rav. What's his name again? Spoke? Or Shapiro. Shapiro mentioned this for a drop. He said that when you learn something, and that's supposed to be just something which is in your mind, where you just learn a sugya, and it's in the mind, you review it, and it's in the head. But he said it's supposed to really permeate. Right? Like when you guys read what the Rav speaks about. There's a good one over here. Look at number 5 at the end. When Rabbi Soloveitchik would speak about Talmud Torah. He says like this, however, Talmud Torah is more than intellectual performance. It's a total, all-encompassing, all-embracing involvement. Mind and heart, will and feeling, the center of the human personality, emotional man, logical man, anyone know what voluntaristic man is? I don't. All of them are involved in the study of Torah. Talmud Torah is basically, for me, an ecstatic experience in which one meets God. So, that's like the ideal, kind of. When you're learning Torah, it's not just like, Shor Shnogah Hasapara, or like, what is Bor? But it's like, no, like, I'm like entering into it. My emotions are connected with the learning. My feelings, my senses are connecting to what's going on with the learning. That's what the Rav says. But if you look one page over, there's a rabbi who writes all of his Svarim anonymously, but everybody knows who he is. That's right. Who wrote Bavavi Mishkan Evna?
Forgot his name, but it's.
Ah, no. What?
No.
That's could be Pachad Yitzchak, by the way. Okay, Zigam also, yeah, could be. Yeah, so this is a Mitzvah Schwartz. Doesn't raise name anything on any website, whatever, but it's everyone knows it's him, so I don't. I think if Weinberger like announces like it's a Mitzvah Schwartz, he wants him like to stop being anonymous. Okay, so look what he says, number 3. So the Adam Lakir Shabo Atzmo Yeshnav Shnechalakim Shekayomim Rachokim Zemize, Kimerchak Shemaim Baretz. Within a person, there are two worlds. Two things. Two parts of man that are world apart. Hasechel shel Adam, hu madrega b'fnei atzma, olam b'fnei atzma. the our mind is one part of who we are, one world in itself. And your heart is also its own world. When you realize that they're so far from one another, that to speak to Lev, what do you think Lev doesn't mean like heart, right? Lev means feeling, it means senses, it means perspective, it means a lot of things. It means includes mood, right? So to get Torah influence, the way that you see things, right? All five of your senses come from the Lev. So the way you see, the way you smell, the way you touch, it's all affected by, it means to feel. To feel is five senses. Lev is feel. So in order to teach Torah to your feelings, so he says this is a very big avoda. Can anybody think of an example? I was trying to think of this before. I have one or two. Can you think of an example of Torah and feelings? Of a sense?
What do you mean? A mitzvah?
Like a sense which becomes holy. Like a way of seeing. Or a way of...
A sense meaning like smelling, seeing.
Like one of the five senses.
To see something and it's a mitzvah, or to smell something and it's a mitzvah?
Not necessarily a mitzvah, but like as a holy thing to do.
Well,
you mean like brachot? Listening to the shofar?
You mean brachot on things that we see and things that we smell?
Right, brachot, exactly. So turning smelling just from something to we do to, like, let's say people make brachot sfarizos, right, on Shabbos, they're right into besamim. Right? Hadassim, right? So that's turning the sense of smell into something which is, you know, making it more holy, right?
You do it with everything.
The way that you look at people could be a way of being mekadesh your eyes.
You look at a rainbow and you make brachah, you hear a shofar.
Exactly. So that there's a way of training our senses to do a avodas Hashem also, not just our minds, but like if you train your eyes to see every time you look at someone, you don't think like regular, like okay, you look at the good and the bad, but you train your eyes to always look for the good. Like Rav Kook, for example. Everybody knows the stories of Rav Kook. Like he says, you guys know the story of the journalist in Rav Kook?
Tell us.
Okay, I'll tell you. So, a journalist once came to Rav Kook, and he asked him, he said, can I interview you? And Rav Kook said, absolutely not. And the journalist said, what do you, you know, they're always a little, like, shtachy. He's like, new, like, rabbi, what are you trying to hide? Why wouldn't you let me interview you? You have something to hide? And Rav Kook responded, he's like, take a look at the wall behind me. What do you see? The guy looks at the wall, and he says, I see a black mark on the wall. And if Cook said, and that's why you can't interview me. Because you're looking at a full wall which is entirely white except for one black mark, and you see the black mark. So that's, Rav Kook was the opposite. Rav Kook would see a whole black wall and see the white dot on it. That was, he looked at every Jew, every scenario, every, he looked at every single idea and saw the white in every, that's why all his farm are called Oros. Oros, whatever. Like everything's about the light and everything, not the, so he trained his eyes, his senses knew the Torah of looking for the good in everything. Right? So, What Avitam Schwartz is saying here is that to train our senses to feel like holier, but not to feel holy, to actually feel in a holier way, like to feel holy. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Like to feel holy. So that's a very, very big avoda. So I tell you, you guys have heard of Rabbi Nachman before, right? Right. What do we know of Rabbi Nachman? Quick, everyone together.
He's from Bethlehem.
Okay, good. What else?
A lot of people visit him.
A lot of people visit him. He's happy, new.
Yeah.
Prime's big chassid of a chassid of his. Prime's a closeted wrestler, just so you know. That's safer, but I need to meet him.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. So a lot of people know, like, the mitzvah gedolus with Simcha, Uman, Rosh Hashanah. You've heard of a sefer called the Kutim Aran, maybe. Never opened it, but it's a complicated, hard sefer. I'll tell you something about that sefer. What's special about Rabbi Nachman is that his sefer, the Kutim Aran, is not just full of unbelievable ideas, and like mom's remarkable ideas, but it's filled with etzos. It's filled from the beginning to the end, hundreds of different ideas with etzos within. Which means I'll tell you a crazy idea about like way to about an idea about like some, you know, bringing psukim and zohar whatever together, and then I'll tell you like, and here's the etzah from this. What's the etzah about? Every etzah he gives is how to get closer to Hashem. Every single thing he says. His whole goal of everything he ever said ever in is just to bring Jews closer to Hashem. That's why he tells stories. That's why he emphasizes Simcha, because Simcha is a way of getting closer to Hashem. And he said he started telling stories because it's harder to hear a Gemara here than for every single person. Every person in the world can hear a story. He did everything he could to just bring Jews closer to Hashem. So he filled up his sefer with etzos. And here's one etzah, which we can learn from, and I think this is the basis of what we're trying to do. And we're going to expand this etzah a little bit from what Rabbi Nachman himself said. Look at number one. This is from the Kutei Moharan. For those who have not yet learned the Kutei Moharan, this is a good initiation session. A hazing. We're all getting hazed by Rabbeinu. Okay. So he says like this. And this in itself, by the way, it's very big. It's very big. Gam tov lasot mea Torah tfila. You should make your Torah into tfila. Dehainu. Kishlomero shomea eza ma'amar Torah mitzadik emes. When you learn an idea from a tzadik or a sefer, azayasem eza tfila, turn it into tfila. Dehainu levakesh ulishani lefanav yizbarach ha-komash and emar shem ba'oso ha-ma'amar. To ask Hashem about what you just learned about. Masa yizke gam hu level lekoze. When am I going to reach this level? V'kamu roch, how far am I from where I want to be, from this idea? V'vakech mito yizbarach. She's a kei level lekoze. And nemar Hashem ba'oso ma'amar. You daven Hashem, like you learn a piece in like a sefer, like Sirus Moshe or something, you daven, like, I want to be as, like, you learn a piece about consistency. You have to daven then. I want this to become part of me. But it's not just like an idea of Pimoser like that. V'amach lechavetz v'emes. So you can learn any sugya in the world, any sugya about anything, and figure out how to turn that sugya, no matter where it is, into a tefillah that you can grow from. So I was saying this over to someone in Lake Como Pizza today, this idea, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Listen, you just gave Chazar Shir, isn't from Rosenzweig Shir." I said, "You just gave Chazar Shir Cherev Harayu Kachal." Right, which means that if the knife is still in the body, we did this in, when did it come out? Elvis and Toldos, Toma.
Toldos and Bez on Bez.
Right? Toldos and Toma, right, good. So, if the knife is in someone's body as he's dead, then all of the Toma transfers to the knife. So I was like, okay, so how could you dive in the sugya? You gotta be creative a little bit. Use Rabbi Nachman's creativity. Like, well, how creative would you be? What kind of tefillah could you make from that? That the Toma of the person transfers its status that it can go on to knife and avatama still. You gotta be creative, right? Get a little practice. I thought right away, I was like, okay. So.
That's stretch.
What?
Yeah, stretch.
You gotta stretch. Stretch. You gotta stretch, but that's okay because it's you and Hashem, so like stretch all you want. Like, stretch away. So I was thinking like this, like you could say, like, the knife is a kli. And if a kli is where it should be, then it can be mashpia, just like the mashpia is mashpia on the kli. Right? So if we make ourselves humble enough and open ourselves up enough and take away all of who we are, of like what I want, let's say, and make it what Hashem wants, be an open kli totally, right with Hashem, then I can be mashpia just like Hashem can be mashpia on me. So you can dive into Hashem, like Cherev Harei Gachol, Hashem, please, the same way that Tuma transfers to a knife, let me be able to transfer to others the same way. Right? That's this idea. It's crazy. It's good. It's a little stretch. Not a stretch.
It's a stretch. So it's like we're being hazed, just like Utemara.
You're being hazed.
You're stabbing, you know, Ephraim.
You're being stabbed. It's piercing the heart.
I've been stabbed a while ago.
I'm getting stabbed the first time, you know.
So, and you have to do it in such a way, ba'ofen shi'yu dvarav divrechein, you have to say it in a way of wanting Hashem to, like, listen, the ratzos yizbarach, to sort of win him over. What is the real word? Shi'ekriveyu, shi'ekarveyu lavodas of emes. This is beautiful. Inyan sichas u'olam makam gavah, ma'od ufrak sh'osim yitor tfila, mizeh nasa sh'ashum gidol ma'od lamala. Rabbi Nachman says, when you daven to Hashem from the learning you're doing, and your main point of your tefillah is that you'll be able to serve Him better. That's what Hashem sort of plays. Shashua means a toy. It's like the word I heard once from Rabbi Akiva Tatz. The word shashua, like shasha, which means sha means to turn. So shasha, like you're just turning it over and over and over again like a toy. You're just playing with it. You're just no tachlis. It's what you enjoy doing. So what Hashem enjoys, just like turning over like a toy, is a Jew asking Hashem, teach me how to serve you better. Help me serve you better. Through the Torah you're learning, Gamkin, but also just saying, Hashem, like, I want to serve you better. That's what Hashem's playing with, Kavyachol, and Shemayim all the time. People, Jews doing that. We just give up. That's amazing. So then, I would say like this. What's the point of tefillah? What's the point of tefillah? Rami, what do you think?
There are a few points to tefillah.
I think the main point of tefillah. What's a main point of tefillah?
Getting closer and developing a relationship with Hashem.
Right. Probably. I mean, there are some, like, Jewish philosophers who people call Orthodox who think that, like, point of tefillah is just like it's the halacha. And there's one, I was in this in class once, says like, if you daven from a phone book, because I was the sitter, like it'd be just the same. Right? But like, no, tefillah is not much a thing, by the way. So you gotta watch that. Just because they call them Jewish philosophers doesn't mean they're Jewish philosophers. So,
they're philosophers.
They're not philosophizing about Judaism, exactly. They're Jewish philosophers, not philosophers of Judaism.
Their mother was Jewish.
Exactly. It's smichut or shem tovar, what you guys will learn in
is Jewish philosophy, Jewish biologically Jewish philosophy, and philosophically Jewish philosophy.
Oh, good, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, they're toldos of Jews, but not philosophy, like Jewish philosophy. That's, so...
Because it doesn't go by the opera, right. So it goes by the...
But you must, the, I don't know what you're saying anymore. but Rami hit the point on the head, is that the point of tefillah is dveikus b'Hashem, to get close to Hashem, right? The point of Avodas Hashem also is to get closer to Hashem, do what he wants, be more like him, get closer to him, serving him. As I think it makes a lot of sense to say that the point of Tefillah and the point of Avodas Hashem is the same. So Rabbi Nachman, just the way that he would say in this Eitzah, to daven your Torah, you should also turn your Torah into Avodas Hashem. Meaning, Benji, when you said in the beginning, like, we're not just about learning the system, right? We're going to see how it impacts us. So that means that you can learn about a boar, but like, what if I never see a boar in my life? Or I never have to do with a boar? I never own an ox. So how is it going to shape you? So either you can realize how it's going to apply to robots, Bez Hashem, very soon. AI, is that kind of Das? Is that kind of Kavana? Very exciting soon. I'm paying very close attention to Bava Kama. I think it's going to be very important soon. But also, it could teach us how to serve Hashem better. If we look at it with eyes...
You're talking about today, because we were learning about the Avadim, you can have slaves.
No.
That's us.
The robots bite you.
No. So we can grow to have these eyes of looking at the Masechta, and this is why this is the Hakdama. Looking at the Masechta with eyes of how can I grow from every line? Because yes, it's cool to have it... A different kind of, you know, more about the Masechta. But why are we doing it from the Masechta? Because A, it's in our mouths, it's Shagur Befino right now, we're talking about it. We're in Bava Kama, we're in Avos and Toldos, Chazar Shir's tomorrow, we're going to be learning about Sroros. It's what we're talking about every day. And for some of us, it's Mamash all day, we're talking about it. But also, when you learn an Eitzah, in Avodas Hashem, from the Masechta, and every time you see shame, you're not just going to see that it's Hanal Hazik. You're going to see, okay, this is something that I can also learn about how to grow. This is an important idea in getting closer to Hashem. When you learn about a boar, which is the deepest levels in Zigan, so then you... Come on, guys. What, you're going to see it. You're going to see something else. And the more reminders you have of growing in Avodas Hashem, the better. So we're going to have a full Masechta filled with Dinim, Halachos, and Eitzos and Avodas Hashem. That's the goal. That's the goal. And Dafka now, it's not just Stam we're doing it, but because if you look at number 4, there's another really cool tzaddik who's very much alive in 2018. His name is the Chalban. Only a few people know about him. Some people will know about him, some people don't. Whatever, he's a cheesemaker. He's a cheesemaker.
I thought he delivers milk.
He delivers milk and makes cheese. He's a dairy farmer.
He has two,
Dairy farmers do both. It's very easy to make cheese.
He's a farmer?
He's farm. Farmers.
He's a farmland in Yerushalayim.
No, he's in Ramat Hasharon.
Oh, really?
Ramat Gan.
I thought he was in Yerushalayim.
I mean, he has a farm.
Right.
It could be that he lives in Yerushalayim also. But he goes to the farm. He goes to work every day. He has a farm. And a few years ago, he revealed to everyone, like, or he revealed, or God revealed, they caught him. He's like a super mukubal, like, farmer. And they started publishing his sfarim, his sicha, so this is one of them, Talichem et Tfila. I have a bunch, a bit of a chassid of his. So look what he, so he has this whole idea that Tfila is the mikdash. Because Tfila is the mikdash, well, I like this, it's very... Because the point of the mikdash on the outside is just korbanos, and the inside, the point of the mikdash is tzimon Hashem, mifgash Hashem, meeting with Hashem. Mam is going to be with him, and that's the point of tefillah also. So he says that when we went to Golas and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, tefillah was also destroyed. Not totally, because it's coming back, but we still have Torah. Torah was not destroyed, but tefillah was destroyed. But he says, as we get closer to the bring back Beis Hamikdash, Tefillah is going to bring it back, basically. Because Tefillah means thirsting for Hashem, Mikdash is thirsting for Hashem, Tefillah is how you get it back. So that's why, nowadays, look at number four, La'or Dvarim Eilu Naskil V'Navin, Shasha Re'uya L'Chadesh Es Avodas HaTefillah. The time is now, he's writing very present, to begin reinvigorating our vote of Tefillah as we're getting closer to the Geula. To pick up all that we lost when we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Kihine naskev anavin shesidrei avodas the tefillah be'eis shehayinu ba'aretzenu. Hayushonu betachas me'at tefillah be'gola. Tefillah of Eretz Yisrael is totally different than tefillah be'golos. Shehi lamadnu limdunu chachamim shebe'eis achorban ibadnu honru chaniga. Though we lost so much of our spiritual connection when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Lo nosu lenu el arba amal shel halacha. All we had left was the Torah. We know that tefillah is not in a great place right now. And therefore he says, So we need to work on this avodah tefillah, getting close to Hashem. So part of what we're doing is A, we're in the Masechta, B, we're getting close to Geula, we got to work on tefillah, we got to work on getting closer to Hashem. And that was really the motivation that we could do this all together. And I'll just finish with saying exactly what's going on now. I didn't realize until earlier today, when they clapped on the bima for Maariv, that it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev today. And any of us who've studied Greek philosophy, which Baruch Hashem had the schus of studying in Yeshiva University, which is like, you always talk about Yavon, but like, I actually know, you know, it's Plato, sorry, my boys, Aristotle, that's the shelf over there. So, my favorite is Xenophon, which most of them know. Anyways, point is, Greek philosophers are very into, like, systems and logic. If it makes sense logically, then gewalt. So, Yavon is not anti-Torah, because it's a great system of values and discussion. Aristotle's virtues are very similar to Torah's virtues. They're very pro Torah. What they're anti is Hashem in Torah. Because don't give me God, give me logic. Right? So that's why, by the way, anything that we don't understand is very Kislev dick. You learn something you don't have, it's like it's very Tosas, you have no idea what's going on. To be Mamin that's MS is still it's Kislev. So our avoda to combat Yavon's anti Hashemiut is to be Miskala Hashem in all the limud, as more than we even usually do. To show that Hashem is everywhere. To show that in the limud we're doing, Hashem is within every single line, and that He's everywhere. And that's the schus. Yeah, and starting in Kislev, is to reveal Hashem through the limud even more. And I'll leave you off with one cliffhanger, is that Torah begins, the beginning of the Torah Mamash, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eshmaim Ezaretz. What's the Rosh Teva? It's the Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bava. Where's the first? What's Bava Kama? Bereishis Bara Elokim, creation of the world. Es Hashemayim Ves Haaretz is Ahove. Bava Ahove, which means the gate of the now. So Bava Kama Davka, the gate of the right now, the gate of entering into a world of Chomer and Ruchnius is Mesugal for the beginning. First gate. So Baruch Hashem, we discussed Bava Kama specifically. It's going to be very cool. There was no cliffhanger, that's all I have to say.
That's pretty good. I don't want
yeah,
cliffhanger.
But Zohi Aschola. So we should be Zohar that Hashem should, like we were saying, like Rabbi Nachman wrote, Hashem should play with us, so to speak, and get to enjoy us coming together to learn how to get closer to Him, and we resolve to keep growing, and then do good things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shukran chaver for coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Finish the kovel. I'm going to finish that. It's a lot of. What do you think of the idea?
It's your
thing?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
It's a very different pace than...
What?
It's a very different pace than what we traditionally learn in Bava Kama, so it's very nice.
We didn't even get to Bava Kama yet.
The concept.
I'm really curious to know what this speaks about.
What?
I'm really curious to know what next week is about. If it's, we haven't even gone to Bava Kama.
We're going to, as a shem, be going into... the Arbavus Nezikin are...
I'm not doing
Roshana
from
them. This is Roshana. Arbavus Nezikin, pitfalls that one can fall into when trying to grow. What can damage you the most when you're trying to be a Ben Aliyah? Mamash the Mazikin. Some good diukim. Make some good diukim in Rashis.
It's kind of funny when you were saying Yavin, so yeah, it was like a joke in Yeshiva that if you're davening, it means you're acting like you're davening, meaning like you're not paying attention.
It's a very tragic joke. It's a very tragic joke, dude.
But it's true.
It's a giveaway about davening and learning, which is in a bad place.
But at least people are aware of it.
So we're there now. Baruch Hashem, 2018, we're aware. We're aware.
We're enlightened.
We're hazed.
But yeah, it was a horrible joke.
Yeah, so I think that's some stuff.